And now, Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and what it means to be the wife of a famous star. Several days ago, Larry Noble, now awaiting trial for the murder of the young fortune hunter Oliver Wilson, said bluntly to his wife as she visited him in the New York City jail,
"I want you to understand that you're not to see Rupert Barlow anymore, or else."
The words stung Mary to the quick, for Larry had never before issued such an order during all the years of their married life. And Mary's convinced that Rupert Barlow, financial backer of Larry's last Broadway play, has done everything in his power to help them in this time of trouble. For she refuses to believe Rupert's attentions to her are anything but those of a friend. On the last two occasions when Mary met Rupert, quite by accident, as she supposed, she tried to explain.
"I hope you try to understand. It isn't possible for me to see you again."
"Well, why do you say that, Mary? What have I done to deserve this treatment from you, of all people?"
"It isn't that you've done anything. In fact, you've been wonderfully generous right from the start. In helping me move into New York from our home on Long Island and getting a famous trial lawyer for Larry."
"And this is the thanks I get for trying to help?"
"You don't understand, Rupert."
"I think I understand only too well, my dear. This is something your husband has prompted you to say."
"Try to remember that Larry is in desperate trouble. It's only fair that I do whatever he asks me to do, without question."
"Oh, I see. Now I begin to understand why he turned Clarence Brewster away. Why he refused to allow the most famous trial lawyer in this state to defend him. It was because of me. Because I offered to pay the fee. I tell you, Mary, the man is doing everything possible to jeopardize his chances of acquittal."
"Don't say that, Rupert. Please don't say it. Larry must be acquitted. It's up to me to see that nothing takes his mind from the trial ahead. If it makes him uneasy to have me go to dinner with you from time to time, or to see you under any circumstances, surely you'll agree that's the least I can do."
"Most certainly, Mary. And I'd be the last man in the world to interfere with your domestic arrangements. But I'm forced to admit that I find this banishment rather unfair. But in any case, you have my wholehearted wishes for the future, my dear. You know that, I hope."
"Yes, Rupert. And I can't tell you how grateful I am that you're being so understanding."
But if Mary realized how Rupert Barlow was using this issue between the Nobles to his own advantage, how different she would feel. If she knew how determined Rupert is to shatter this marriage and to turn Mary's need for him into a personal triumph. But of course she doesn't know. And does she realize that Rupert has contrived two impromptu meetings with Mary, at which a photographer was carefully planted on the scene? And that's why at this very minute, Rupert's sinister manservant, Victor, is talking to the well-known New York newspaper columnist, Marty Rufus. And we hear...
"Here you are, Mr. Rufus. Two real good, sharp prints. You won't have no trouble recognizing those faces. Neither will anybody that sees them in the paper."
"Uh-huh. Rupert Barlow and Mrs. Larry Noble standing on a city street.
In front of her hotel. You can see the sign. That's where she's staying at."
I know. And this one shows them coming out of a subway entrance."
"Right. Get how they're laughing. He's holding onto her arm."
Just what is your object in bringing me these pictures?"
"Look, Mr. Rufus, you've been writing up in your gossip column about how Mr. Barlow and Mrs. Noble have been carrying a torch for all these months. So I figure you're interested when I get something like this. All I want to know is, can you use the pictures or no? I got no time to lose."
"I can't understand all the angles. You're working for Rupert Barlow? I finally recognize you."
"Well, what about these pictures?"
"You've been fired?"
"No."
"Then why is it you're here trying to peddle some pictures of your employer in company with Mrs. Noble?"
"Listen, Mr. Rufus, suppose we cut out the crosstalk and get down to cases. I'm selling these pictures. If I get my price, I leave them."
"I see. And what is your price?"
"You can have them for a century apiece."
"Oh, pretty high."
"Suit yourself. If you're through looking them over, I'll scoop them up and be on my way."
"All right, take it easy. I'm trying to make a decision."
"I sure hope it don't take you this long with everything you got in your column."
"Very well. You can leave the pictures."
"Where's my dough?"
"First, I want you to sign this release."
"What do you mean? I don't sign nothing."
"You think I'm going to pay you and let you peddle the same pictures all over town?"
"I won't sign nothing. You can take it or leave it."
"All right, here's your check. You can pick up the money at the cashier's office on the way out."
"Okay, Mr. Rufus. It's a deal." I'll be watching for results. So long.
Just don't try to sell them anyplace else.
Meantime, Larry Noble's in better spirits than he's been in the weeks since his arrest. Right now, we find him in conversation with his lawyer, Hubert Savage, in the visiting room of the jail. And we hear him say,
"Sounds to me as if you'd outlined a pretty good defense. Personally, I can't see any loopholes in it. But then, of course, I'm not a lawyer."
And just wait till the prosecution gets going on their questions. You'll find that there's plenty to answer for.
Oh, I understand that, Mr. Savage. But I don't see where they can shake my story. After all, they're not going to get me so rattled that I'll say I killed young Wilson. I've had a bit of experience before audiences in my day, you know.
Never one like this, I should imagine, Mr. Noble.
No, hardly. But it seems to me there's plenty of room for reasonable doubt. Why should I be the one who's picked for this murder? Why couldn't it be any one of half a dozen others, all of whom were backstage at the Hamilton Theater after the performance on the night Wilson was found dead?
As I've pointed out before, Mr. Noble, you can make sure the prosecution is going to hammer away at this supposed romance between you and Miss Claudia Vincent.
All right, let them. They can't prove anything.
They can make you look mighty culpable. They'll try to show that you were carrying on some sort of flaming romance with Miss Vincent. They'll force you to admit that you got her into your play over the producer's protests, and that you even forced your wife to accept her as a guest in your own home.
Well, look here, Mr. Savage. Are you trying to sap my puny little bit of confidence?
Mr. Noble, I'm trying to make you realize what you'll be up against once the trial opens. The DA will try his best to create the feeling that you were maddened by jealousy when you learned Claudia Vincent had secretly married Oliver Wilson.
And where will you be all this time?
Well, naturally, I'm going to be defending you with all the power at my command. I hope to show that you had no such reaction to this marriage, nor that you were ever romantically involved with the young woman in question.
Mr. Savage, have you spoken to Claudia? Do you intend bringing her to the stand?
Well, it's fairly clear that the DA will call her, and in that case I'll cross-examine.
I don't see why Claudia Vincent isn't to be counted as a witness for the defense. Surely she'll do everything she can to back up my story.
Perhaps, Mr. Noble. I haven't had a chance to question Miss Vincent.
Well, why not? I should think she'd be one of the first people you would question.
Unfortunately, I can't locate her. She's moved from her former hotel and left no forwarding address.
Moved? Well, certainly somebody must know where she is. She didn't just disappear, did she?
I don't know. But it's my personal opinion that the prosecution has her under close guard to keep me from getting to her until after the trial.
Well, why should they want to do that? You don't think Claudia Vincent will be of any use to them, do you?
I hope not, Mr. Noble. But at the same time, I can't understand why she hasn't made an effort to offer her help.
I haven't seen her since the first week I was here. I thought I could surely count on her support. After all the trouble I took trying to help her.
Of course, we don't know that she isn't going to offer her help. But we've got to protect ourselves in the event of a surprise. The whole weight of your defense is going to be based on the one irrefutable fact that there is no proof that you committed this crime. No one saw you, and no one can say that you were alone with Oliver Wilson backstage in that theater.
Well, that doesn't exactly fill me with joy, Mr. Savage. Your story seemed a lot stronger when you first outlined it.
Of course. I was hammering away at all the points in our favor, and sliding over the ones that will be picked up by the prosecution. There were, to my knowledge, 8 persons present on that fateful night. Mrs. Noble...
She's out. Mary had nothing to do with it.
Please let me finish. Miss Vincent, who can't be found at present. Miss Julia Dixon, who brought Oliver Wilson back from Bermuda. Then there's Mr. Rupert Barlow.
A snake, if ever there was one. A man who's used his wealth to indulge every selfish gratification.
I'd like to suggest, Mr. Noble, that you go easy on that subject when you take the stand.
Why?
It's safest to keep away from personal comments, particularly where Mr. Barlow is concerned.
I don't agree, Mr. Savage.
It will be pointed out that Rupert Barlow put money into your play.
Well, he didn't lose anything by that.
Perhaps not. But it won't be taken as an unfriendly act. Furthermore, it will be remembered that he offered to provide you with the most famous defense lawyer he could find. Don't you see? It wouldn't look right if you denounced him in court.
Well, I'll try to remember. But I'm not fooled by Rupert Barlow's generous impulses. He's trying to make an impression on my wife.
Whatever you do, let's not say anything like that. That's not going to help your case at all.
Well, I'll keep my head, don't worry. Besides, There's no longer any reason for me to concern myself with Barlow. My wife has agreed not to see him again.
Is Larry in for a bad shock when he looks through tomorrow's papers? We'll be sure to be listening Monday to Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and her husband Larry Noble, famous Broadway star.